TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, to distinguish it from all other peninsulas. And I'm going to be talking about peninsulas today. You'll see why. This is Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I make sense for a living. Yeah, I do. I make sense for a living 5 days a week. And for people who know me, they understand that I also make sense on the weekends. But the general population just doesn't generally see that. This is MZTV. Welcome. Today, I'm going to talk about the bigness of what we are in. We are players on a stage so big, and we are the center of attention of celestial beings so high and so powerful that, to me, it is amazing that I'm sitting on a stage right now with a pan back here, with a bag of coffee over here. I mean, I am freaking out today and yesterday about how 99.99% of the time we are so stuck in our situations, so oblivious to our, even our immediate surroundings, let alone the monumental aeonian celestial surroundings, that it feels like we're in a hole or something, doesn't it? Sometimes you just feel so overwhelmed by everything. But I'm challenging myself, and I'm challenging you just to do one thing right now. Just do one thing right now, wherever you are. This is easier for me than it is for you. I'm going to tell you why. All right. I always say, from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, this is Martin Zender. The reason I do that, the reason I came up with that phrase, is because you can see the Floridan Peninsula, like from satellite. It's a peninsula. I mean, we know what North America looks like, and there's this piece of land jutting out from the bottom right-hand corner of the United States as you're looking at the United States. It's not the United States, it's North America. This is what, before I go into that, I want you to do this. I want you to get rid of political boundaries and look at the world as God sees it. There are no political boundaries. We're on a chunk, speaking of me and those other ones in North America, we're on a chunk of real estate that was just carved out from giant cataclysms. Number one, the disruption of the world. Number two, the flood of Noah. And I'm sure we've been through time periods in ancient history where glaciers carved things out. But these things were all remnants, I think, of the cataclysms just mentioned. And when all the destruction was done, and after the land masses had been shaken, this was the result, what you see. It's a familiar sight to everyone. You look at a map, you see North America, South America. When you see the shape of it, you automatically know what it is. Oh, that's South America. Or you see the continent of Africa. Oh, there's Africa. It's so commonplace to us, but this is a result. These land masses, the way they're shaped, are a result of great shaking. Now, I think the most distinguishable feature of North America is the Floridan Peninsula. And I like the fact that I'm on this piece of land. It's kind of phallic as it juts out toward the equator. And sometimes when I'm sitting out here contemplating, this is what you need to do. You need to take time to contemplate. Please take time to do this. Wherever you are, on whatever part of the landmass you are around the world, I want you to do this. But I'm going to tell you how I do it. It's easier for me because this landmass is so distinguishable. I like to put my mind up. And see myself on a peninsula. Like, I'm literally on a peninsula. But I'm in my neighborhood. I'm looking at a tree. I'm listening to the birds. You know, Charles is walking around. And I can't. My vision is very, very limited. I can only see my immediate surroundings. And I forget that I'm on a freaking peninsula. Huh? Uh-huh. And I'm on a freaking landmass known as North America. That's big. But let's take God's viewpoint now. Earth is the shithole of the universe. Some people disagree with me on that. That's fine. But it's consistent with everything God does. The earth is not some beautiful bauble that's the center of it. It is the center of attention, but not because. But that doesn't require it to be this pristine hope diamond behind glass. No, it's a shithole of the universe. Well, Nazareth, Jesus lying in a manger, Peter and the fishermen in the Sea of Galilee, Jesus Christ is crucified near the Dead Sea, the lowest point of the earth. It's all a shithole. It's not some, you know, beautiful snow globe. It's a shithole. So it's consistent. God does the most amazing things in shitholes. Take Jerusalem in the Middle East. When Jesus Christ was being crucified, it was the biggest event ever. The biggest event. Talk about an event that shapes history. It's shaping Aeonian history. Jesus Christ is dying for the sins of the world, for the sins of the cosmos, for the sins of the universe, the sins of everything ever created, ever will be created. It's the centerpiece, as far as events go, of the Aeonian times, which has repercussions beyond the eons, whatever is beyond the eons. I don't know. And yet, Jesus Christ himself loses sight of what he's doing. Listen to me. Jesus Christ himself loses sight of where he is and what he's doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's so under pressure. He's so vexed. He's so emotionally tortured by the immediacy of the events, by what he can see. His friends are over there sleeping. Losers, losers. He knows the soldiers are going to come and arrest him. But he asks for another way. He asks for another way. I mean, I'm sure Jesus Christ, right now, he can be located. He's one being. You can GPS him. He's looking back saying, huh, thank God that you didn't deliver me from what I was saying. Thank God that, you know, you heard my prayer. You're sympathetic, but you did things your way, like Frank Sinatra. And Jesus says, thank God, because that was the most epic thing I could have done. Jesus Christ might be watching tapes, you know, of his crucifixion and death, and it's epic. I mean, perhaps while it was happening, the celestials perhaps had this music put to it. And Jesus Christ is on the stage, and this music is put to it. I mean, just watch Jesus Christ Superstar. You watch that, you get chills. It's like, oh my God, this big event that's happening is beautiful. But Jesus Christ is so in it. He's so looking at only things he can see. His viewpoint at that point is so limited. Just like me on this peninsula. My viewpoint is so limited. I have to stop once in a while and realize where I am in the cosmos, in the cosmology. So I like that. I like when I do that. It gives me perspective. I think that's the more proper perspective. But I have to pay attention to stuff here. But that's the more proper perspective, I think, the large perspective. And events are happening in our lives that are shaping the history of the world and the future of the world. You say, Martin Sander, you're getting pretty exaggerated there. Well, you're full of yourself. Huh? You think you're all that? Yeah, I think I'm all that. So, hush. I think I'm all that. And let me give you an example. I mean, what I'm telling you is that events are happening in your life now that are shaping you, that are fitting you, as I've always said, for your role after the snatching away, when you're made immortal, for your role among the celestials, and you will be directing affairs. You will be the movers and the shakers of the coming cosmos, the coming world. The movers and the shakers. You will be deciding things that will affect billions. And the things you need to go through are happening now. And all you know is, oh shit, I got a flat tire. That's all you know. So, I mean, Jesus Christ then, having surrendered to the fate, to his fate, to the will of God, dragging his cross to Calvary, and while he's doing that, people are watching him. People are on the sidelines watching it. And probably 1,000 meters away, people are in their houses. I said this the other day. I can't get over it. I'm sorry. Having lunch while this is happening. Hey, honey, did you get the kale from Spencer's Market? Oh, I forgot. Sorry, baby. This is going on while Jesus Christ is being crucified. The soldiers are hammering the nails into his wrists. And just as that is happening, there's a kid living with his parents and his brothers and sisters. Hey, where'd you guys put the toothpaste? How would you like to see that scene? I mean, these are contemporaneous events. Simultaneous events are happening at exactly the same time. Soldiers nailing Christ to the cross. The most epic thing that people have talked about, made movies about, just like freaked out over. Like, this is cathedrals built concerning it. And while that's happening, hey, where's the toothpaste? The kids, 1,000 meters away, wondering where the toothpaste is. They have to brush their little toothies, even back then. Yeah. So, what if a camera had been there? I always hope that we're going to be able to see these things. We're going to be able to go back in history and like watch events that we've always wanted to see, but we're going to watch the events happening in real time as it was in that time. I don't see why that can't happen. Okay, so anyway, what if the camera was focused on that house instead? It's like, I want to see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Okay, roll the tape. So God rolls the tape, and you see these kids, and you see these parents cooking lunch and everything. It's like, I want to see the crucifixion. Sorry, it's not morbid, God, but I'm interested in like the details, like the reality of it. Well, no, this is what I want to show you, because I want to make a point that this is what's happening while that's happening. This is the ordinariness of it, and it's the thing that we tend to forget. So there's some fishermen hanging out on the Sea of Galilee one day, and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is wandering around the shores. He's indistinguishable from other people. And he's going to pick out people. He's going to call out certain people. In this case, I present Exhibit A, Peter. So, who else was fishing with him then? Andrew, was Andrew fishing with him then? I don't know. Doesn't matter. One of the disciples, there's two of them, maybe three. I don't know. But Jesus Christ, looking at maybe hundreds of fishermen, who knows, he looks at Peter and he says, you, come follow me. Come follow me. Do you know what Jesus Christ is doing? He's choosing the future rulers of the earth. Is he not? He's choosing the future rulers of the earth for Peter. It was an ordinary day. He gets up, still dark, sleeping on his mat or whatever. His wife's next to him, gives her a careless little kiss. See ya, honey. Maybe brew some coffee, stubs his toe. Ah, shit, fucking cut. Son of a... That was Peter. Fucking Fred. Ouch. What happened, honey? Forget it. Puts his cloak on, trudges out to work. This is the day. This is the day that he's going to be chosen to be a future ruler of the world. During the kingdom, the 1,000 years, the apostles, 12 people are going to be running the freaking earth. And they also have their names on the gates of the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven onto the new earth in the fifth eon that probably lasts 10,000 years at least. Their names are on the gates. The 12 apostles. Holy shit. I keep saying shit. I know, but I can't help it. This is so big, so huge. Their names are written on the gates. The 12 gates of the new Jerusalem. It comes down from where? A warehouse in New Jersey? No. From heaven. Charles is freaking out over here. He thinks I'm going crazy. Shaking. Take it easy, kid. I'm all right. So Peter goes to work that day. Little does he realize the epicness of it. All he knows is, another day. Pulls his nets in the boat. Heads out. Boat rocks like this. He gets out. Sun's up finally. And then some guy on the shore. You, come here. That's it. Boom. That's it. You come here. You come here leads to name written on gate of New Jerusalem coming down from heaven onto a new earth on which there is no sea, no temple, and the nations scream into it. And you, come here for a second. Okay. I'm going to make you a fisher of men.
What does that mean?
You'll find out. You'll find out, kid. Just follow me. What is Jesus Christ? What is the Son of God, I should say, making us into? Something bigger than a name written on a gate of a magnificent, sparkling city descending out of the heavens to the new earth. Bigger. Bigger. In fact, it's so big that when the Apostle Paul was taken to that third heaven, he heard things so incredible, saw things so magnificent that he was not allowed to speak of them. And here we are, our viewpoint, like the viewpoint of an ant, barely understanding what is happening right now. We barely understand it. And we're only now thinking about it because I'm talking about it. But what if we were more aware of it every day? And what if we knew the times? And we do know the times. We do know the times. We do know how perched on the edge of change we are. That the evil eons, eons 1, 2, and 3, are about to changed into the good eons. That itself is an epic Aeonian event. Eon 1 changing to Eon 2. No big deal. One evil eon going to another evil eon. The disruption. Eon 1 to Eon 2. Eon 2 turns to Eon 3. The flood of Noah. But it's just another bad eon going to another bad eon. Evil eon. Wicked eon. We're living in that eon. But what's about to happen is the evil eons are about to turn to the good eons. This is an event where few people in the history of the human race will live to see. And yet, here we are. But we're not just ordinary citizens. Oh, no, no. We're the aristocracy of the universe. We're the coming rulers. It's an ordinary day. An average day. I don't know what happened the day you were called. I don't know what happened the day you realized that you had been chosen beforehand for the place of a son or a daughter. But I bet it was just like a day Peter had. even Jesus Christ. Father, if there's another way, well, there's not another way. And there's not another way for you. And there's not another way for me. This is the way. You're on it. You're on the peninsula of epicness, world history, universal change, from evil to good. You're perched, you're primed for such glory, such celebrity, such renown, that it can't even be spoken of. But I just want you to know that on the universal map, you are here.